If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews. I will tell you this, that we are where we're at today because of that's where God wants us to be at today. And it was several months ago that the pastor would remind me or he would ask me to fill the pulpit this Sunday. And as I began to count through the cards, I was like, wait, Pastor, that's a that you this one? Yeah, that's the one. I'm like, thank you, Pastor. You're the best. And so I will tell you, it's a tough sermon, but it's a good sermon. It's a sermon that I believe it's a word that's found here that is much needed in the times in which we live. And I'll tell you, for that of Paul, as Paul was writing this book, as he was explaining the chief priest, and he was explaining between that of Christ and that of Melchizedek, and as he was explaining all these things through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, he gets here to chapter 5. And he's got a concern. I'll tell you, as he wrote this, I could only imagine that as like you would for the book of Corinthians, you would find that he has a love for the people. He has a love and a compassion that he wants to see the people grow. He wants to see the people not be where they're at. And I would believe the same would be so as the Spirit of God that is speaking through him, because the Spirit would not want us to remain in the situation that these people have found themselves here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. So if you found your place today, today we're going to talk about failing to grow in faith. Failing to grow in faith. So if you found your place in God's word and you can stand, if you could stand, that would be great. And we'll read through these three, five verses. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. For whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Father, we pray right now, Lord, your blessings upon your word. Lord, I pray that God, as we leave from here today, that it will be your word that remains upon our hearts. Lord, yes, I will do my best to expound upon and, Lord, explain. But Lord, ultimately, we know it's your word that brings change. And so, God, may it be so today that as we leave, Lord, we can say, Father, thank you, Father, for a good word from that of the truth that can only be found in your word. We love you, Father. In all these things we ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. And so today, as I was given the task and I was given the opportunity, I began to go through and I began to think through. And listen, there's a lot of thinking and there's a lot of time spent. And as you're thinking and you're spending, not money, you're just spending time, you're sitting there and you're going, man, Lord, how do you go and you present this? And how do you talk to people about the fact that, you know what, we don't need to be babes in Christ. We need to be mature believers. We need to be believers that are growing in the faith. Not believers that are going back to the being a babe, but no, just continuing forward in that of the good, strong meat of God's word. And as I was doing that, I ran across a survey. And I know, yes, surveys have got their way, but I appreciated the survey. It's a survey that's done every 2 years, and it's called the State of the Church. And this survey would have been done by Ligonier Ministries and that of Lifeway Research. And what they do is they take about 3,000 plus evangelicals, and they go and they survey them, and they ask them five questions to begin with. They want to know where they're at. Do they really believe what they say they believe? And there's questions like, do you believe that God is the only one true God? Do you believe that the only way through, it's those questions, all right, the basics. And then what they do is they begin to probe and they begin to ask these other questions. And as I begin to read these questions, man, I began to be broken and saddened, because I would have to say that it would be true for many of the people that's in our pews today. I would tell you it's true for probably a lot of the people that stands in a pulpit and tries to preach on a Sunday morning because of the garbly garb that you hear sometimes coming out of the pulpits. And I walked through and I took some of the questions that I thought, man, no way. There's no way that that's possible. One of the questions was this: does God change? Because, you know, we live in a society where everything changes. Your gender can change and your church can change and your partner, you know, is supposed to be married for life. And, well, you know, they can change and your girlfriend can change and your boyfriend can change and go change a car. So why not God? But did you know, before I get to the answer, did you know that the Bible affirms the truth that there's a triune God, that the triune God is both omniscient, meaning that he knows all things, and immutable, meaning that he cannot and does not change? That's according to Isaiah 46:10, Malachi 3:6, James 1:17, and 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. But despite this truth, listen to this, despite this truth, the majority of the adults that they surveyed in the United States believe that God both learns and adapts to different circumstances. But hold on a minute, that was just the adults of America. Approximately half of evangelicals believe that God learns and adapts to various situations, meaning that they believe that God does change. Not only that, but then the next question was asked this way: is everyone born innocent in the eyes of God? But you and I know that when God created the world, everything was made good. That's Genesis chapter 1. But yet through Adam and Eve's rebellion in the Garden of Eden, humankind became corrupted. The Bible teaches, did you notice that's the sixth time I've said it? The other one I said the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the concept of original sin, which means that since the fall, every human being inherits a sin nature from the time of their conception. In other words, we are not sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we are sinners. The fact that almost two-thirds of evangelicals believe that human beings are born in a state of innocence reveals that the biblical teaching of the original sin is not embraced by most evangelicals. God's word, however, makes clear that all humans are by nature children of wrath, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. The truth is foundational. Listen, you must have that truth. Without that truth, you will not have an accurate understanding of the gospel or the absolute need for the grace of God in salvation. But then I get to the other one, because none of those matter because of the way they answered this question. The Bible, this was the statement they asked for the answer. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. I'll read it again just so you can get the grasp of it. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. 53% of evangelicals that were surveyed would agree with this statement. So the book that you have laying in your lap, it is not all true. You get to choose, you get to decide, because listen, really, it's an old book. It's an ancient writing. The Bible, however, is a unified message from the one true God. As such, it is to be embraced in all its fullness. Did you hear that? As God's perfect revelation to humankind, we must conform our lives to Scripture rather than twist Scripture to suit our lives. But the problem, church, here's where the problem is. While we can say amen, while we can say that's right, and while we can agree with the statement, the Bible would tell us here in Hebrews, and the Bible would tell us over in the book of Matthew, Jesus would say, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears." Now notice this. There's a progression here. And then we'll get back to Hebrews. Jesus says this. The boy says, "Listen, why do you speak in parables? Why do you speak in such ways?" And what Jesus says is, he says, listen, the people that we're talking to, their hearing has gone bad. Their eyes have been closed. And unless they were to be able to begin to see with their eyes, begin to hear with their ears, and listen to this last one, and should be understood with their heart. Church, we have a lot of people that show up for church. They hear a great message. They hear the truths of God's word. Hey, listen, they give the amen, they give the okay, but when they leave, it never gets to the heart. And the problem is Paul's here and Paul is speaking and he says in verse 11, he says, listen, we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Because today there's four things that he shows here as to why we are not growing. There's four reasons why we are staying in the state that we're in, and that is a state of infancy in our spiritual walk. And what he does is the first one that he approaches is he approaches the one where we don't listen very well. We have a dull heart. We have a dull sense of hearing. The word dull there, dull of hearing, means too lazy to understand or to be slothful. If you go on over to Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 12, you'll see that Paul says it once again there, that you be not slothful, that you don't be lazy. And the criticism here that the writer has to the readers, it's not that they're unintelligent. It's not that they're incapable of understanding. Rather, it's just that they're careless about their faith. They don't care. And the reason why I know that is because when you go back to the book of Hebrews, there in Hebrews where we're at, you can go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, and you can see the first warning that he gives to that of the readers. He says these words in verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, you ought to give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. That means keeping your eyes on what you have heard. Focused, not diverting, not getting your eyes off of it. I've heard it best described this way. It's like when you go to the beach and you go out into the ocean and your mom and dad says, please do not lose sight of us. Because we know when you go in the ocean that there's a current, there's a movement of the water. And then what you could do is you could get out in the water and you could begin to play and you can get your focus off of what needs to be focused. And that would be the orange tint that your mom and dad said, don't lose sight of. And the next thing you know, because you've been playing and having fun, like we do from Monday through Saturday, that we're playing and we're having fun, we find ourselves a mile down the beach and we only having to find ourselves to walk back up the beach or fight the water back up. And the whole time, if we would have just stayed focused sometimes on that orange tint, we wouldn't have so much farther to be able to walk back. And he's telling them that here. He's saying, listen, you need to take heed. You need to watch here, take focus on that of the things that are being spoken. Not only does he do it there, but he also does it in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Watch what he says. Paul says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Go look up the word consider. The word consider there would be that you and I, we need to partake. We need to hold fast. We need to hold fast to what? Well, the profession that we have in Christ Jesus. Not only there, but he gives them another warning. He says this in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Church, can I tell you how to not harden your heart? Stay in the Word of God. God's Word will keep your heart softened. It's when you and I close the Word and we begin to live on our own means, our own opinions, our own thoughts, and our own whatever, then therefore our hearts become to be hard. But it's when we open the Word of God, we expose our heart to the Word of God, that God's Word begins to just smash it, smash it, smash it. See, we don't like that. We like to be our own self. We like to be our own boss. Not only there in verse 8, but he also goes to Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 1. Notice what he says. Again, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering in that of the rest. Focus. Therefore fear. Focus on that. Be mindful of that. Fear. And then he says on over in verse 14, he says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Hold fast, hold to that of our profession. Y'all, he tells them, he's told them that in Hebrews chapter 2. He told them that in Hebrews chapter 3. He told us that in Hebrews chapter 4. And now we get to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're in shock that Paul has to stop and say, listen, I would love to tell you more, but I can't. Because what you've done is you've become lazy and you've resorted to go back to where your beginning was instead of growing within that of your faith. We've come so conformed to the world that we've lost sight of what it was that God has called us to do. I've read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I've read it, it's got to be 1,000 times. It'll be what will be on my gravestone one day. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That means work, y'all. You got to do something. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be you not transformed to this world. Don't be transformed to this world, but don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know, all the times I've read that, I've always thought about everything on the outside of the walls of the church. But do you know that we've allowed the inside of the walls to be conformed to things that keeps us from being where we ought to be within that of God's word? We know more about politics than we do about the nature of our God. We know more about politics than we know about the characteristics of that of God. You know why? Because we've grown dull of hearing of God's word, and we've grown not dull of hearing of the ways of the world. We spend more time consuming news, social media, than we do searching the scriptures for the daily truth that we are in need of in order to live within this world. We know more hymns by heart than we do scripture. And I'm reminded that God's word says it is God's word that is a lamp unto my feet. It's not the hymn that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So therefore, I'm going to hide God's word in my heart so that I may not sin against him. We have our favorite preachers, our superstars, if you want to say. Maybe some R.C. Sproul's or some C.T. Townsend's or maybe some J.C. Ryle's. And the problem is we don't even have our favorite books of the Bible known. We engross ourselves with shows like The Chosen, and we don't even realize the falseness and the heretical nature of the show because we have a lack of knowledge of that of the true word of God. We have fond memories of that old time religion, but very few memories of us just sitting down by ourselves with the Bible open, having a one-on-one conversation with the author of this great book that you have in front of you. We have grown dull of hearing. We have grown lazy in that of our understanding. It's not that we're unintelligent. It's not that we're incapable of understanding. It's just we don't want to work at that part. So not only do these babies not listen very well, but these babies are also very forgetful. A baby's very forgetful. I don't know if you had this problem at your house, but you know, when I had littles at my house, and they still have to tell me this. But anyway, we won't talk about me. And so, but listen, the babies, you're constantly telling them, don't put your finger in that light socket. Don't put your finger in that receptacle. Don't touch that oven. It's hot. Don't touch that. And you have to tell them that over and over and over until one day they do what? They touch it. And you're like, I told you so. That wasn't something you should have done. But it isn't amazing how a baby, man, they're so forgetful. They forget so quick and so fast. But what the author here is saying to the readers is he says these words in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God or the word of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. If you notice the verbiage there in verse 12, he's saying this, it's by this time. By now, they've been saved long enough that they ought to be able to be a teacher. I ask you today, church, how long have you been saved? And could you teach, not in a Sunday school setting, that's not what I'm asking, not everyone's made to do that, I understand that. But I do believe this, that if you and I are believers in Christ and we're growing in our faith, I ought to be able to sit down with one-on-one with someone and disciple them and tell them what the resurrection is and tell them what faith is and tell them what baptism is. I don't know. We can also tell them who God is. We ought to be able to do that. But the problem is he says, listen, for the time, by now, the time you should be able to do this, you're not. He also does this in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to what Paul does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he tells the people of Corinth, he says these words, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul's saying here again to the church of Corinth, I would love to be able to speak to you on this level, but you know what? I have to continue to speak to you on this level. I don't know if y'all do this at home or not, but I do it this way. I'm going to speak to you like an elementary, and then I spell it out. go do laundry. L-A. No, you know, I don't want to spell laundry. I'll spell it wrong. But what happens is Paul saying, listen, I would love to speak to you on this level, but I can't because you're carnal, because you're not growing. And so therefore, I've got to keep reciting. I've got to keep repeating all the things down here. And it's sad because you're missing out on a great opportunity of growth. He says, I have fed you milk, verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you. It's like taking a six-month-old and laying a filet mignon down in front of him. I don't even care if you cut that baby up. That six-month-old ain't going to be able to eat that steak. That will be my snack for later. Why would we do that? But listen to me. But by the time my kid's 8, 9 years old, 6, 7 years old, 5 years old, I ought to be able to lay that steak down in front of them and they ought to be able to chew that thing up. And that's where we ought to be, church. As born-again believers, we ought to not want to continue to stay on the milk. We ought to not, listen, we do not need to be reminded over and over and over these basic principles. Why? Well, I'll tell you here in a minute. Verse 3, for you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, and are you not carnal and walk as men? And so what he says here is he says, listen, the reason why you have problems within your church is because you're carnal. You're not growing. Could you imagine a church that is all growing in their faith, growing in the truths of God's word, not being forgetful for the fact that when the Bible says, we say this prayer, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Now listen, I don't know about y'all, but when I get to heaven, I'm hoping he forgot all of them. But why can't you forgive? Well, now, Pastor Scott, we're human. You gotta understand, well, it's happening a lot. You see, we hear the truth. We wonder why the church is in such a disarray. And it's because we got a bunch of baby Christians. We got a bunch of people that are forgetful. We got a bunch of people in our churches today. Not just South River. I'm talking about the church in whole. You heard the survey. That they don't even know the truths of God's word. They don't know the basics of God's word. They don't know the basic principles. And he says that it's now that they are able to, not that they should be able to be teachers, as say in front of a Sunday school, but they ought to be able to teach what they know. I was told this one time, that teaching is the final step in learning. Teaching is the final step in learning. So if you're going to learn about who God is, then you should want to talk about who God is. Discipleship, that's someone pouring into you and you pouring into someone else. You could do that, church. There's a lot of people that needs the one-on-one discipleship. You say, well, how do I get started? Well, just come to me. I'll help you. We'll roll. And then I'll send you to somebody else so that you can pour into somebody else. The sense is that one should be able to teach oneself and remind oneself of their first principles of the Word of God. The basics, church. Things like repentance. You must know repentance in order to be saved. Faith, baptism, resurrection. Because of the Spirit that resides in us, should it be that way? So as babes in Christ, they don't listen very well. They forget very quickly. But then they're also very unskilled with the Word of God. If you see in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5, he says, and for everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now listen, I'm a sucker for a baby. I love babies. Listen, there's nothing more fun than to go into a family gathering. Hey, the other night, on Wednesday night, I got to carry around a baby, man. It was like 30, 35 minutes until the baby got a wet diaper, and I'm like, I think I can take it back to mama. Babies are cute. Babies are lovely. But have you ever been to like a family reunion or a family gathering and you had your littles and you know, sister or aunt so-and-so would want to hold them for a while, and then Uncle Billy and then Grandma Mimi wants to get a hold on for a while, and then Papa wants to hold them a while. You know, they just get tossed about. They just get, and listen, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever wondered what they were talking to them? Because like when I hold a baby, I'm like, oh, you're such a cutie little baby. What'd you eat for breakfast? You know, oh, you got lovely eyes. I mean, we just talk to the baby. We tell the baby whatever we want to tell the baby. And the baby's like, or he starts crying. And then we hand it off to Uncle So-and-so, and Uncle So-and-so, he begins to tell whatever he wants to. And the baby really, hey, you ready? In reality, just being tossed about. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul, he says the same thing. Do you know that, church, that we are in danger when we are not growing within our faith, we're in danger of being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by every new thing that comes on the scene. I remember my mom, it was way back when that book for Heaven Is For Real, Heaven Is For Real book came out. My mom's like, man, Scott, you got to read this thing. You got to read this thing. And listen, don't judge my mama. I'm just telling you my mama wanted me to read it. And I told my mom, Mom, I ain't reading that thing. Listen, I ain't got no need for that. I'm reading. I got enough to read. I'm not reading that book. I know I should have listened to her, but I did. But it was only to find out that as you begin to study that book, although, listen to me, churches loaded buses full of people and took them to the movie theater. Churches had Bible studies around this book. This was the happening book, y'all. Heaven is for real. Everyone's got a copy on their shelf. Only to find out that when this kid turned 16, he would say that his dad was a liar and that his dad made it up. But I really didn't need his dad to tell me that, because you could just read a little bit of the book and find out that that the book described heaven completely different than the way the Bible teaches. But could it be possible that we were so engrossed with this book because we had no knowledge of what God's word really says about heaven that we just thought it was fanciful and wonderful? And church, that should bother us, because Paul says in Ephesians, he says, listen, now therefore, verse 19, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Oh, excuse me, chapter 4. Good thing I said that out loud. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. He says, don't be a child, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of a man, y'all, in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? They're deceiving. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, I underline that part, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, we ought to not be being tossed about. I would tell you this, and if you're a visitor with us today, I say, welcome to South River Baptist Church. And I will tell you that by being a visitor here, man, we love to have you, and we hope you'll get plugged in and join our church. But I will tell you the reason why we have such a problem with church hopping is because of that very thing. We are babes in Christ, if we're a Christian at all. And what we do is we'll go about 4 years somewhere, and then we'll get upset and we'll bounce around and we'll go somewhere else. And we'll get upset and we'll bounce around and go somewhere else. And we'll get upset and bounce around and go somewhere else, only to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And if we had a proper understanding of what true membership really is, that means that when you are joined together, it's a body that's joined together. I don't know about y'all, but if I took my pinky and just jerked it off and laid it down right here, y'all would go, whoa, that guy's lost his mind, but it's the adrenaline, I promise you. But I would tell you, ready? That's going to hurt. But see, we don't see church membership that way. We think that we can just disconnect and we can plug back in, disconnect, plug back in. We ought to see it a little bit more valuable than that, y'all, because that's not how God's word teaches it. Not only that, when we talk about being unskilled with the word, not being able to appreciate the meat of the word, I would tell you, y'all, up until I was like 22 years old, man, I was a lazy Christian. I don't know how you are. Man, I was lazy. I carried my Bible to church every Sunday morning. I carried it every Sunday night. Man, every Wednesday night, I was a Bible-toting man, let me tell you. I would open my Bible up. I would hear what the preacher had to say. And I was so delightfully filled by what my preacher had to say for me. But I didn't do anything on Monday. I didn't do anything on Tuesday. I didn't do anything on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday with that book. I loved when my preacher gave it to me. You know why? I was a baby in Christ. I love when somebody else cut the meat up for me. Listen, I tell the students up in student ministry all the time, if you're in student ministry and your mama is still cutting up your pancakes, listen, you need to tell your mama to stop. It's time to grow up. And I would tell you, church, that as a believer in Jesus Christ, listen, if the only thing that you're feeding off of is what someone's already cut up, what someone's already put in a blender or a smoothie, listen, you're not growing. You need to be in the Word of God for yourself. Let me show you what's going to happen when you do. Listen to this. I love this psalm, Psalm 34. I bless the Lord. Listen, I will bless the Lord at all times, do you? I do. Listen, ain't nothing more fun. All the time. People look over at you and they're like, man, that dude's lost his mind. Yes, I have, and I'm okay with it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, not just Sunday, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night, every day. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify, underline that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt. There's the us. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard my voice and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now watch this, you ready? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Church, I'm going to tell you something. If you just would get a taste, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, when you start really opening up the book, you really start cutting it yourself, you really begin to feed yourself, you get excited. You get excited. You begin to have revival every day within your life, because really that would be good for all of us. A good reviving in our life every day. Every day, opening the word, hearing what God says. Listen, once you taste it, I promise you, you will not want to miss it. John Galena, I just said John in the first service, and the other John goes, amen. But John Galena, one thing he's taught me is he's taught me how to cook. Now listen, I'm not saying I'm a professional, but I love it. I love doing it. And when last year we cooked 600 filet mignons, we didn't pay for them. They were given by somebody else. We cooked 600 filet mignons, y'all, for West Iredell Banquet. And I had an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with those people. That was so much fun. But you know how you cook a filet mignon? Let me tell you how to do it. You take some good old sea salt. And just sprinkle some sea salt on it. Throw it on the grill. Just a good hot grill, 500 degrees. Flip it one time, put some sea salt on it, pull it off. And I'll promise you, you'll cut it with a fork and you'll eat it like candy. You're like, Pastor Scott, you eat filet mignons that much? No, we just dropped that many that day. I'm just telling you. Oh, taste and see. Church, we're not listening very well because we forget how good he is. We forget because we're trying to live off of a Sunday morning message and think somehow that's going to keep us sustained through the week. And then we live off, listen to this, and then we live off of someone else's message on Monday. And then we live off someone else's message on Tuesday. See, it's good that you listen to other people, but let me tell you something. All you're doing is just getting it blended up for you one more time. You're not learning how to grow in the Word. So not only are they unskilled, but they are undiscerning. A babe in Christ or someone that is an apostate, they're undiscerning. If you get to verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, there it is, exercised. That's work, y'all. I know we don't like that word. Exercised to discern both good and evil. Not guided by your emotions. Listen to me, church. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I cry with the best of you. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. The other day, man, I'm sitting in my office, and I watch a video about how a daddy and seeing the kid raise up, and you're like, man, by the time that video's on, I'm like crying. I'm sending messages to all of my daughters, telling them I love them, telling them, you know what? And then they're wondering what's wrong with daddy. Has he got problems? And I'm like, no, I'm just broken. You know, hey, listen, I cry with the best of you. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I, we need to make sure that our emotions are being governed by the things that we know of God's word and not by that of the ways of the world. You see, when you and I will govern our emotions by the things of God's word, what we will do is as we're impacted with whatever we're being impacted with, whether it be yesterday, hearing 50 men seeing how great thou art in a log cabin, loved it. But listen, you can't lose yourself in that because we can't forget that, hold on a minute, we need to hear a good word as well. Why? Because it's the word that brings change to people's lives. It's the word of God. And so therefore, as I'm caught up in the moment, I've got to continue to do 1 Thessalonians 5:21. That's prove all things. I got to make sure everything that goes on, I'm proving it. What are you proving it with, Pastor Scott? The Word. I'm going to look at everything through the lens of God's Word. I'm going to look at every situation, every disappointment, every critic, every gossip, every up, every down, every good and evil. I'm going to look at it through the lens of God's Word. You say, how do you do that? Man, you just got to be a student of the Word. Yeah, but that's work, Pastor Scott. You don't understand. I know. Yeah, all right. It does. It is. And I agree. Remember, I was lazy till about 21, 22. Discernment is not knowing, C.H. Spurgeon said this. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. I don't know. I'll go back to the one I told you, the chosen. I'll go back. I'll tell you another one. The Bible studies. Man, listen, just because someone, a church, is putting on a Bible study, it doesn't mean that it's a good Bible study. You ought to be discerning about that. Listen, just because Pastor Chris is up here preaching, although I believe he is faithful to the Word of God, you still should have discernment. You don't just sit down and let your brain go googly glue, all right? You're listening. You're being discerning. Why? Well, because of what you know of God's Word. You're hearing what He says. You're hearing what I'm saying. And so therefore, you're filtering it through what you know of God's Word. But listen to me, church. You can't do that if you're not in God's Word. You're filtering it through your emotions. That's why you get upset. That's why you leave the church. And then that's why you go somewhere else to take all your baggage to another church. And remember, guest, we are so happy to have you. I'm reminded of this proverb. And I'm going to flip if you're okay with that. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. My Bible says this. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift us up thy voice for understanding. Do you want it? Church, I want it. Listen, when someone comes to me, man, I want to be able to give them what God says. I want, and hey, ready? And I'm humble enough to go, I don't know. I'll have to go study that. That's a new one on me. But I'm willing to be able to do that. I'm willing to be able to say that. Because listen to me, I want to be a student of the Word, and I want to have an answer. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to disciple. I want to be able to spur on my brother or sister in Christ. Not with my opinion. My opinion don't mean anything. What I want to be able to do is spur them on with the truth of God's Word. Because listen to me. Once I get done telling them what God's Word says, if they're upset with me, I love it. Because that's what God's Word says. See, the reason why so many people end up on American Idol is because they got bad friends and they tell them that they can sing. A good friend would say, you can't sing well. A good friend will tell you the truth. A good brother or sister in Christ would speak truth to you instead of worried about your emotions because of the discernment that matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to what he says. Paul, back at it again, he says these words. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. See, that's my concern. Church, that is my, and I think that's the concern of Paul as well. But the concern is this, is that as he was writing this to the people, to the ones that was reading this letter, his concern was is that there was a lot of people that was either believing they're saved and not, or that they were such a babe in Christ and they should have been more mature. It's one or the other. And the thing that I would tell you today is that if you struggle, that could be the problem. It could be that you're lost. It could be the fact. Listen, it could be the fact, because I got a story I'm going to share with you in a minute that would only prove to you that what I'm going to say is it's true. And that is that, listen, if you're not growing in your faith, if you're not growing in the faith that you say that you have, it could be that you're lost. I know there's a lot of people that have prayed a prayer at a vacation Bible school. I know there's a lot of people that have prayed a prayer after a preacher said, repeat this prayer after me. I know there's a lot of people that is basing everything on the fact that they wrote the day of their salvation in front of a Bible. But can I tell you, those people very possibly will bust hell's gates wide open. Because it's got nothing to do. I don't find in God's word where it says, repeat a prayer after me. Nor does it say, write the date of your salvation in the front of your Bible. Both are good. They're not that it's evil. It's just that there's a lot of people that's hung their hat on that. And they're not growing in their walk. And they wonder why. It could be you're not saved. And what happens here is just like Paul would be broken, that would be the same heart that Pastor Chris and myself would have as well. And that is we would ask you the question, hey, why are you not growing? You should be growing. You're at a time to where you should be plugging in. You should be serving. You should be teaching. Man, listen to me. Not everyone's made to be a Sunday school teacher, but we need Sunday school teachers. And every time we go to someone, they'll go, I just don't think I'm ready for that, Pastor. And that's wonderful. But I'd ask you, why not? You've got such great knowledge. It's not that you, it's just, listen, it's work. Morgan said this, but this search must be serious and strenuous. This search to be able to have discernment. It must be serious. It must be strenuous. The way of wisdom is never revealed to triflers. The way of wisdom is never revealed to triflers. Friday, I was trying to get my mind wrapped around how I was going to bring this thing to a landing. And I was going over to Lenore, and most of y'all know that Lloyd hangs out with me a lot. And so we were riding down, and Lloyd begins to tell me a story. I asked Lloyd if I could share this. It's nothing against Lloyd. It's so true, though. And so I said, Lloyd, would you drive today? Or Lloyd said, you want me to drive? And I said, yeah, man, please. Because what I done is I took that time from here to Lenore just to continue to read, study for today. And he knew that. And so I appreciate that about it. And so we get in the car, and we begin to drive to Lenore. And he begins to tell me about, and he tells me about planting stuff all the time. The dude's got a green thumb, y'all. Kind of like my dad. My dad could plant something in red dirt. And it would be like, it'd come up. And I'd be like, Dad, how you do that? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I could plant something in the best cow manure, and you got all kinds of right proportions, and the pH is right. And that thing will come up and just dead. I don't know. But Lord was telling me, he's like, yeah, he said, we went to Walmart the other day. And he said, as we was coming out, Patricia looked over, and she saw this Gerber daisy. And he says, that Patricia looked over at him and said, hey, let's get that Gerber. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful Gerber daisy. And so Lloyd said, okay, I'll grab that. Let's go. So he buys the Gerber daisy. And as they're on their way home, he says, you know, Patricia, I remember last year someone gave us one of those Gerber daisies. And you know what I did? I put it down in the crawl space. Now, listen, I asked him this. I said, was there any sunlight whatsoever in your basement, in your crawl space? None. No sunlight, y'all. And he said, but Pastor Scott, you know what happened? He says, I went and I checked my crawl space. And as I opened up that crawl space door, there was that other Gerber daisy that we put down in that crawl space. I said, you're kidding. I said, was it dead? No, not of course not. Not with Lloyd. Lloyd goes, no. He says, that thing had come up. It had leaves on it. It had a stem on it. Even had a bud on it. And I said, in pitch dark? That's crazy. He said, I know. That's what I said as well. And I say all that to say this. God purposed, he made that flower to bloom. It didn't matter if it had all the sunlight it needed. It didn't matter. That flower was going to come up because that's how God had created it. In church, let me tell you something. I say it with the best love that I possibly can. It doesn't matter where you're attending church. It doesn't matter what kind of preaching, although I would encourage you, I hope it's line by line, precept upon precept. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, it doesn't matter where you're at. You ought to be growing. You ought to be growing. Listen, if God has truly saved you, you truly have the Spirit of God living in your life, you ought to be growing in your faith. Yeah, now hang on a minute. You're right. Some good, solid Bible teaching. Yeah, your growth ought to look different than someone that's just giving you, I don't know, the milk every Sunday. Yeah, the growth will look different, but let me remind you, there's growth still there. Yeah, he told me, he said, man, he said the leaves were a lot lighter green. The stem was a lot lighter green. Matt won at Walmart. That thing was luscious. It was real green. And I'm like, you know what I'm sitting here? And I'm going, that's what it is. Whether wherever, it don't matter where we're at, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be growing within your faith. If the Spirit of God is residing in you, you should be growing, or you should be miserable. You should be growing, or you should be miserable. Because there's a war that's taking place within inside your body. Regardless of the position, regardless of the situation, if you're a born-again believer, you should be growing. And my question to you today is this. Why are you not? Why are you not growing? And if you are growing, listen, I want to continue just to keep on keeping on. There's nothing greater than to come alongside someone else that is growing. Someone's running the same pace that you're running. It's great, y'all. But I want to tell you that today, if you're not growing in your faith, is it either because, listen, your ears have grown dull of hearing and you need a change of heart, or is it because you're lost? You've never been saved. But I'll tell you this. If you're in either one of those two positions, that's not where God wants you. That's not where God wants you. God wanted that flower to bloom, whether it had daylight or not. And if you're a born-again believer, God wants you. He desires. Colossians chapter 1 says for you and I that one day when you and I get to heaven, He wants mature believers. Believers that have grown in their faith. And that's what we as a pastor, we want to present one day. We want to present those that are mature. And I want to encourage you, church. You're sitting there and you're going, man, but how do we do it, Pastor Scott? Well, I will remind you, the reason why we do grow the way we do grow, every Sunday night, I'm on week 11, hermeneutics, how to study God's word. Every Sunday night, y'all, for an hour, I'm teaching you the tools. Now listen, it ain't me. It ain't about me. It's about anybody that's in there willing to teach you and teach me. As I'm learning, I'm just refreshing my skills, teaching you how to study God's word. But there's those of us that claims to be believers, we find no value in that. On Wednesday nights, we have a men's class. A men's class that is encouraging us men. Hey, listen, be leaders. Don't allow emotions to sabotage our leadership. We offer the class, encourage the growth. But we have few that would want to attend. We have a Wednesday night Bible class for women that teaches on that of the attributes of God. We have a Friday Bible class that's offered here for a community Bible study. Every Sunday night for the kids, we're teaching them. Listen, and even through this, we still get grief. We're teaching them how the truths of the attributes of God. We're teaching them for 12 weeks the attributes of God. Listen, when I was a kid, I don't remember nobody teaching me about no attributes of God. Oh, hey, listen, and now this semester, what we're teaching them is we're teaching them how Jesus can be seen all through the Old Testament, the foreshadowing of Jesus. And not that, we're also teaching them the disciplines of the faith, like how to tithe. Why should we tithe? Why should we give? How do we pray? How do we study God's word? But so few attend. On Wednesday night, we talk about missions. We talk about how we as a church, we want to spur on these missionaries. We have a missionary over in South Sudan. We have one in Chicago. We have one in North Wilkesboro. We have these missionaries. And listen, what we do is we want to pray for them. We want to encourage them. But we also want to be reminded why we ought to be doing those things. But it's attended so few. Have we grown dull of hearing? Have we seen there's not really a need for that? Have we returned to the milk when we ought to be on the meat? I don't know, church. I'm going to tell you this, though. As far as me and the pastor that stands in this pulpit every Sunday, We're giving you all that we can give you to help you grow as much as you can grow. But it's like anything else. You can lead the horse to the water, but I can't make him drink. And that's our encouragement. We need to grow. If we're not growing, we're dying.